We need your prayers. There are times in ministers' lives when they have to fight for their inspiration. So we covet your prayers tonight. We hope when you all got up here and sang that song, you meant it. We have a message to the church from the Lord. And we hope that the Lord will change everybody's view about something tonight. We want to read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, starting at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, as a group, we love our ministers, don't we? We love them. We love to be able to come and sit in service and listen to them and be instructed. We love the fact that there's somebody there that carries some kind of authority, that when something gets a little out of, you ever notice that in a congregation? Something happens a little out of order and everybody looks. To who? They look towards the pastor, the teacher, the elder that happens to be there. In other words, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We love them. We love them. And we especially love it when we come to service and we can sit in our seats and we don't have to have much of a burden and we don't have to carry much of a song. We don't have to sing very much. We don't have to pray. And we can just sit there in the seats, and they're always faithful. And they have something for us. And sometimes it may make us feel a little bad, but more often than not, it encourages us in some way, and we go home and we feel pretty good. We like that. We especially like that. I hope after what the Lord has to say to you tonight, you will never ever feel that way again. I hope that you will realize that it is not all their job. I hope you'll realize it tonight. And that you'll never ever again feel like you can just sit there with nothing and let somebody else do it all. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what they're for. It's to edify the body, the whole body. And that means that even though you may be a minister, you may be a teacher, you may be an apostle, you may have a gift, when you're sitting underneath the anointing of another gift, you're edified. It's for the whole body. The whole body. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. Till we all come there. All of us. Till we all get there. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. See, those gifts are made to edify the body. And they're made to protect. They're made to keep the truth, put forth the truth at all times. It's made to show up deception when it comes. It's made to help everyone to be able to understand where they're going wrong, what might be in their pathway that isn't just right. It's to teach us all. It's all for our edification. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Yeah.
This is what God intends and how he intends the body to work. Now, with that thought in mind, turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. The 14th verse. It's about the talents. And I'm going to use this parable a little different tonight. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." All right? We know that this is talking about Jesus. This is talking about him being here on earth, and he's delivering, it says it's the kingdom of heaven. It includes all the saints on earth and off the earth. All the whole kingdom. And it says he's going to travel into a far country. We know that that's what Jesus did. And he delivered unto his servants his goods. Now, what are goods? Well, the most wonderful good that he has is salvation for the soul. And then all the things that are encompassed in that. His goods, his property, the best that he has, he's given to his servants. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Now I want to talk to you about what God has intended for your life. To everyone in here that is saved, from the moment you got saved, God had a purpose and a design on your life.
Yeah.
A purpose and a design. He had intended that something would come of your life. Not only that, but he knew exactly what it says according to his several ability. He knew exactly your makeup. He knew your personality. He knew the way your mind works and thinks. He knew everything about you. And he chose and picked out what he wanted you to do in his kingdom on the day you were saved. Now, on the day that we're saved, God gives us everything that we need to be able to live a victorious Christian life. It's all encompassed. We have it. When it talks here about he gave 5 talents to one and 2 to another and everything, whatever they needed to be successful, he gave it to them. At the very beginning.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, he gives you what you need. There are many people that say, "Oh, I can't stay saved. I can't do this. It's too hard." And they have a lot of times that they're backsliding, and many people that make a habit of backsliding and all, they say they just couldn't get it. They couldn't get through. God gave them everything they needed.
Yeah.
He intended. See, it's his goods. He didn't intend you to make something out of nothing. He gave you something. He gave you everything that you would need to make a success. Now I want to talk to you about what God had intended for your life. On that day you got saved, He had a purpose and He had a design on your life. And He wanted to give you something to edify His church, His body. You are now going to be part of the body. There is no part of the body that is not needed. Not one part. You will suffer if you miss just one part of your body. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. Do you know what we see today? We see a body that is missing some parts. We're missing some parts. And it's because that as people have accepted God's goods, and He has given them everything they needed to make a success, they haven't done what they should do. It goes on here and it says, then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Traded. You know what it means to be traded? Acquired by labor. In other words, it isn't just going to be handed to you. It's acquired by labor, work. The idea is to gain, not to lose. And the idea is to trade the lesser things of a lesser value for those of a greater value. And this one that had the 5 talents traded. And what have you done with yours? Have you traded up? Have you traded the lesser for the greater? Have you taken the things that were not very important and traded them for the things that were? Have you tried going on to live the same life that you lived before, only just none of the bad stuff? That's not good enough. You're part of the body now. And Christ has a purpose for your life. The day you got saved, He said if you were going to be a pastor, or if you were going to be a teacher, if you were going to be a minister, have the gift of healing, have the gift of faith, the gift of knowledge, all His goods, see? On that day when we get saved, it says He handed to His servants all His goods. He delivers His goods unto us. And it's up to us to follow Him to be able to perform those things that He chose. What did He choose you for? What did He choose you for? On that day He chose. Do you know what it is? Some of you have been saved for many, many, many years. Did you know what your purpose was all these years? Or did the devil trick you into thinking that you've been kind of worthless and I can't do anything and everybody else does it better than me? God intends that every part of the body edify the other parts of the body. You are not supposed to come into these services and take. You are supposed to give. It is a give and take all the time. How's your trading? How's your trading going? It doesn't matter if God gave you 5 or 2 or 1. It doesn't matter. He looked at you and He said, I know exactly what I want them to do. And I'm going to give them the exact amount they need to be a success. They're going to have the exact kind of help that they need to be a success. They're going to have, I'm going to inspire them with the Word of God, just the right scriptures to help them when they need it. I'm going to send mentors and helpers into their life that is going to help them and lead them right down the path that I want them to take. I'm going to give them everything they need. And it's all planned the day that you kneel at this altar. It's all planned out. It's just a matter of you getting into the plan and allowing the Lord to do it with you. So how's your trading going? Have you been trading the selfishness in your life for more of a giving and a giving spirit? See, even children can do that at home. How's your trading going? Have you been trading that hard little place that you had, and have you been trading it for more love? Have you been trading unforgiveness for forgiveness? Have you been trading the inferiority complexes and all these personality difficulties that we have? Have you been trading those for something better? For something when the Lord can tell you what you are and how important you are to him? Are you trading? Are you trading the lesser things for the greater things? How's your trading going? I'm going to tell you what happens to people that backslide. They don't trade well. They don't labor at trading well. They don't gain. They want somebody else to do it for them. They don't want to have to work for it. They want the good feeling to stay there all by itself. I had a child one time that told me they got saved one night. They were only saved for about 2 weeks. Later on, they told me, they said, the good feeling went away. And they just couldn't do it without that good feeling. Well, what are you doing? What are you trading? Are you trading anything? Are you getting rid of something? And filling it in with something that God wants you to have. Then those feelings and all that you think are so important that you have to have, which you find out later in life, you don't really have to have. But a newborn babe doesn't know any different. They just want the good feelings, just like our newborn babies in life. They just want to feel good and be pampered and petted all the time. But how's your trading going? What about those that God has laid his hand on and said, I want you to do this in my kingdom. I want you to be a preacher. I am convinced right here in this room tonight that there is a significant percentage of people in this room right now tonight that God has wanted to give them a gift in the church. And they have fought him. They have fought him. The Lord told me that. They haven't traded up. They haven't done that. They haven't traded and looked to the Lord and kept growing and going further. And then finally to get to the place where... Because even on the day that you're saved, do you know that right at that moment, the Holy Spirit is available to you? Right then. It's available to you right then. We don't recognize our need of it, maybe for several weeks, maybe a couple of months. But if it goes on years and years and you still don't feel your need of the Holy Spirit, you haven't been trading at all. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. See, what this parable is trying to say to us is, he gave you what you needed, and all you had to do was trade, and you were an automatic success. That's all you had to do. Just trade up. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. Digged in the earth. What's the earth? the world.
Yeah.
Earthly principles. Self. So how's your digging going? Since you've been saved, you've been hiding it in the earth. People don't make a success in their salvation because they're digging and burying what little bit the Lord gave them under a heavy load of the world. And they wonder why they're not making a success. Those that have the 5 talents and the 2 and realize what they needed to do, they begin to trade off the world. Don't you remember when you first got saved? Don't you remember that there were some things you got up right away from the altar? You got up knowing, I can't do that anymore. That's trading. See, I traded something. I know I can't have this, and I'm saying that I can't have it. I'm saying I'm giving it up. And do you know what? The Lord helped you do that. Because it was already given to you. When you knelt there, you would get everything you needed to make it success was given. He just needs our cooperation. So people dig in the earth. They dig in the world. So what kind of ground are you digging in? What are you hiding in the ground? What part of the world is taking up your time? Is it, which we heard over and over and over and over in this meeting, the entertainments? Is it that? Is that what you've been hiding your salvation under? And you won't trade it for anything? You want to say, I'm saved? You want to say, I've got it? I'm living holy. I'm living up to what God wants me to do. But I am not giving up the world. I am not giving up this. I'm not giving up these entertainments. They're just too important to me. So you won't trade them. And you just bury your whole salvation underneath them. And you won't be a success. Because you buried it in the earth. You've buried it in the world. So now God has called you. The day that you were saved, you were supposed to do something. Preach, teach. Gift of helps, gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom. He had it chose out for you. He knew just exactly what he was going to do with every one of you. What have you been hiding that under? My responsibilities to my family? My responsibilities to the job? I just don't have the kind of job that leaves me any time. I have too many children. This is for the sisters too. You're not free tonight. It's a sister up here talking. You're not free. I had 9 children and a husband. And the Lord called me to do this anyway. And I had to do it in the middle of all of that. What are you hiding under? What are you hiding what God has given you? What are you hiding it under? What part of the earth are you all wrapped up in? Is it all pleasures? Is it working all the time? The workaholic brethren that don't hardly have time for their families or anything else, and they say it's because I have to provide for my family. And yet God said He was providing for your family. If I understand Him right, He said not to take a lot of thought for that because I know how to take care of you. But do you know that there are some men that get so much satisfaction out of hard work that they'll do it even when they know they should take some time for the Lord, for the children, for the wife. But they get such satisfaction. So whatever the Lord wanted to do with them, they're hiding it under work. They're just digging in the ground and piling all of the salvation in there and covering it over with the earth of hard work. And they think they're going to make a success. They're not trading up. Because they were a hard worker probably before they got saved. They're not trading up. They're not learning how to have temperance in all things. So where I can sit down and relax and be with my family and take some time off and spend quality time with my children, with the Lord, and with my wife. But I spend all my time for me working hard. Because it gives me so much more satisfaction than what I've found in God. And the reason you don't feel satisfied in God is because you've buried it under the earth of what you call hard work. It takes time to find satisfaction in God.
Yeah.
He's not a drive-through. You can't take 15 minutes and just hurry along and hurry through and then think you're going to be satisfied all day. I'm just going to be so happy in the Lord all day. You won't be happy in the Lord 5 minutes. Because you'll forget practically everything you thought you were getting in 15 minutes. In the next hour, it'll be gone. The Lord is calling. The church is suffering for lack of workers.
That's right.
Senior ministers are moving off the scene. Where are the young ones? Where are you? You all got up here and sang tonight. What did you sing? Here am I, send me. Did you really mean it? Did you really, really mean it? Because some of you are called and you're not heeding the call because you're so wrapped up in burying your salvation in the earth, in earthly principles, earthly thoughts, earthly entertainments, earthly everything. And some of it isn't bad. I just have this dream of owning land. I have a dream of owning this house. I want my car, my first car. I want this. I want that. I have to have this college education. Gotta have a wife. Gotta have a husband. Do you know some of you are called not to have a wife or a husband? You are. Paul was called not to have a wife or a husband. I'm not to have a wife. That's who he's called. He was called that way. And you can see by the life that he lived how hard it would have been for him to stay focused on what God was using him in had he had a wife that he was dragging behind him everywhere he went. She'd have been in all those shipwrecks. His children would have been in the shipwrecks. They'd have been there when he got snake bit. When he got stoned. When he got beat. Maybe they'd have been beat. And where would his mind have been after they beat him and hauled him off? He'd be worried about what are they doing to my family right now. Some of you are called for that life. Are you really interested in what God intended you to be on the day He saved you? Because you can know what it is. God intended for you to know. He intended for you to know, for it to be a natural progression of trading up and trading up and getting rid of more and more, and finally come to the place where He whispers in your ear what He wants you to do for Him. That's what He intended. I wasn't raised with the saints. A lot of you that are here were raised with the saints. Maybe all of you. I'm not even sure. I wasn't. And when I got saved, my husband wasn't saved. I only had one child. And I was going to church. And the pastor there preached a message. He was preaching on the gifts, and he was preaching on, he talked about women ministers. Do you know that very day, something burned in my bosom right here? It turned on fire. I had never even heard that there were any women preachers. That's how ignorant I was. Ignorant and unlearned, didn't know anything about you all. And I'm preaching to you today. And you've been here all these years. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. And when He called, I was shocked. And I wasn't even smart enough to know what it meant. But as ignorant as I was, I got it in my mind. I understood that He wanted me to be a minister. I couldn't even make a speech. I had almost failed public speaking class in high school. I couldn't do any of that. I didn't have a saved husband. I didn't have any of that. But by the time He finished working with me, and by the time that He had me in a place where He wanted me to preach my first message, I had several more children. I had a saved husband. I had a mentor to help me. God provided all that. But way back there when I was first saved, He chose. And He told me what my life's work was. And I will be honest, I have failed Him. I have. Through ignorance on my part, and no doubt through willfulness on my part. No doubt because at different times in my life, I began to pile a little earth on it. I got bogged down with the cares of life. Things that were going on around me had an effect. The church is lacking for workers.
That's right.
For workers. Do you know? We need people that are willing to travel and go places where other saints have made contact, and there's people interested. We need people that are willing to jerk up their whole family and move there. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Who wants to move? Who wants to move? Who wants to give up the house you just bought? Who wants to give up the perfect, I just got it fixed just the way I want it? Who wants to give up the job that I finally feel like I'm making a good living for my family? And go to the unknown. But unless you do that, you'll never know what God can do. You'll never know what God could do. There are very few of us here that are living in such a way that we will ever, ever get to know what all God could have done for us if we'd have sold out and left it all in His hands and let Him have it all. Very few of us even know. In here, we're pretty well set. We pretty well have jobs. We pretty well have cars, homes, everything that we need. We're pretty well set. So you tell me, what can God give you? Are you needing anything? Spiritual help. We always need spiritual help. But what about physical things? Do you need any physical things? We're pretty well set, aren't we? Not needing a whole lot. And truthfully, if the truth be told, even those of us that feel like that we're need a little something, truly, if we just tightened our belts down, it did with a little less, we wouldn't need any more. Because a lot of it just isn't even needs. The church is hurting for lack of workers. For those that are truly committed to doing whatever the Lord says do. There are congregations across this country that don't have pastors. Some that don't even have maybe a minister. And nobody wants to go. We have those that will travel. Go here a Sunday, go there a Sunday, and that's good. Somebody needs to move.
That's right.
Somebody needs to move out of their comfort zone.
Amen.
And move.
Amen.
And do what God intended all along. Do you know there are congregations where they're dying out? There are no young families there anymore.
That's right.
Somebody needs to move. This isn't an easy saying. This isn't easy, but we are talking about doing what God has called us to do. And He said, get out there and work for souls. We cannot afford to sit around all comfortable and say that it's everybody else's job. This parable goes on. It says, after a long time. Time. This time means opportunities and seasons. After a long time, the Lord came back. And He reckoned with them. He inquired into their faithfulness is what He did. And to decide whether what kind of a reward or what kind of a punishment they were going to get. Do you know that you are going to be required on the day of judgment? If God intended to use you as some kind of worker in the church and you never fulfilled that, you're going to be required on that day for that. It was His intent. You had everything you needed to lead you there. You had everything you needed to trade up and to keep going forward until you could finally get to the place where He could tell you what He wanted you to do and you could fulfill the work in His kingdom, because He has left this work in our hands. Do you know that? Do you know that He has left this work in our hands? Somehow or another, it is required of us because He left it here. And He's there to supply everything you need to carry it out. But He will not carry it out without you. He intended to work through His church. He intended it. And He said, go into all the world. Go into all the world. That isn't for a select few. All of us have to go into the world. We have to work for the Lord. We're too comfortable. We're not sacrificing. And we're going to be reckoned with. On the day of judgment, we're going to be reckoned with. No doubt there's been conversations that have gone on in homes of people that are right here in the congregation tonight. That at one time or another felt like, maybe we should move, or maybe we should go there, or maybe we shouldn't go there. And there's been discussions. There's been discussions about, you know, there's a great need over there and a great this or that. And there's been discussions. There's been things that you've been introduced to and things you've talked over in your family. There's been things that have come to you in the night. There's been things that God has tried to talk to you about. It always looks different the next day, doesn't it? When you don't really carry what God tells you, and when you don't really listen to what He's saying to you, and you don't really get a hold of His burden like you should, it just doesn't sound the same the next day. It's why we tell people, if you're feeling like you need to come to the altar, do it now, because tomorrow you won't feel like it. It's time for all of us to give all. All. I give you my whole life. Whether I get married, whether I have children, I give you all, every bit of it. Work through me and do with me what you want. I'll go where you want me to go. You young people said tonight, you sang, hear my, send me. Did you mean it? Or is it just a flowery song? It's just something that's made to fit, make you feel like, and sometimes this can happen, make you feel all warm and cozy inside, singing those beautiful words, and, oh yes, Lord, I'm ready, I'll do what you want me to do, and then tomorrow you're back to saying, I've just got to find a way to get to school, you know, get to college. I've just got to, you know, Lord, where's the wife? Where's that man I'm supposed to marry? And Lord, I want. And you don't spend any time at all saying, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Do you know that you have the opportunity to be able to fast and pray? And ask the Lord what He wants out of your life.
That's right.
You can know what He wants. You can't put it off. You're burying it. It's under the earth. You're burying it. You're going to be reckoned with. There are probably those right now here that are older in age that could probably tell you that at one point in their life, they were called a certain way, and they failed. They didn't do it. They didn't follow through. And it's been something that has been on their heart and mind throughout their experience, throughout their life. They may not have told anybody, but there's probably people like that. There are future teachers sitting here. There are ministers here. There are pastors here. There are evangelists here. Men and women. Are you going to fulfill the call that God has put on your life? The first opportunity, after I felt that call, we finally had a meeting. And the first woman minister I had ever seen came and preached. And I went to her afterwards and I told her what the Lord had done. I think I'm supposed to be a minister. I told her how that it just burned on me and I can't get away from it. I keep thinking about it all the time and I can't get away from it. She gave me some good advice and told me to be faithful as I was reading and thoughts came to me and to jot them down. She says, because if you wait, you'll forget them. You won't get them. Jot them down. Make sure that you are diligent in whatever the Lord is talking to you about. Talk back to Him. And that was all really, really good for me. Do you feel something? As this message is going forth, do you feel anything burning? Do you feel some kind of call? God wants some consecrated people that are willing to do some of this work, that are willing to go and be in places that other people aren't, that are willing to go and help in congregations where there aren't a lot. See, what we like to come to church and sit down and be ministered to. Think about those places that maybe don't have a minister. What do they do in church every Sunday? What do they do in church? Well, I don't want to go there. They don't even have a minister there. Then we'll all be sitting there not getting fed. No, you know what you'll learn? You'll learn how to feed. That's what you'll learn how to do. When you're left in those kind of places, you come with something. You start trading up. But as long as you're willing to just come and sit and let somebody minister to you and then go home to my life. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. God gave him what he needed, exactly what he needed to make him a success. He came back with a complete success. And the Lord said unto him, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Because, you know, the hardest thing that God could ever call you to do is a small thing in the kingdom. In His whole kingdom, it's a small thing. He divides things up well if he has plenty of people to work with. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And also he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then he which had received the 1 talent. Just 1. God looked this person over and they said, he can give me 1. He is capable of gaining in the kingdom. He can gain something in my kingdom. And I have supplied him with 1 talent, and I have given him all he needs to be successful with 1 talent. And he will be just as successful and receive the same reward as that had 5. They had to do a whole lot more trading. This person is capable of trading now. They can trade up. They can get there. They're capable of bringing forth something in my kingdom. They're capable. And I'm going to require it of them too. When they come before the judgment, I'm going to require it of them. I gave you all you needed. Why didn't you trade up? Why didn't you gain something in the kingdom? Why didn't you help your brothers and sisters to work with the Lord in His kingdom and gain souls? Then which he had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here. Here. I'm still claiming salvation. Here am I. I've still got salvation. You gave it to me in the beginning. I've still got it. There are many, many people in that day, the Lord, the Bible says, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? I'm okay. I've done what you wanted me to do. He says here, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Do you know hard means rough, harsh? Do you know that that's the way sinners think about God? Do you know that? That's how they look at God. They say he's not fair. If God really loved me, this wouldn't have happened. They say he's hard. That he's a hard taskmaster. They say that he just wants people to do this and everything and he doesn't even give them anything back. That's what this man's saying. This is the way the world looks at God. He's a crutch. He's a crutch for weak people. He's not worth anything to a strong person like me. And what the Lord is saying here, it says that he was afraid. Well, I believe that sometimes we can get afraid. I believe that sometimes when we feel a call on our life, we can get afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid. I was terrified. And you know what was the most terrifying of all? I was in this little tiny, tiny congregation where there was, three or four families, and most of them were family. Okay? But you know what was the most terrifying of all? I didn't know any of you all. And the first time that I had to go to a big meeting, and I didn't know anybody there. And the Lord said, get up. I didn't know you. And I was afraid of you. I was really afraid. And I could have hid my talent at that point in time. I could have digged in the earth underneath my fears, underneath my inferiorities and all the complexes that I grew up with and everything else and said, they won't hear me, they won't like me. I'll just sit here and be quiet. I could have said, oh God, it's too hard. You're just being too hard on me. Like this man did. You're just too hard. You know, this is too much for me and you're somebody that everybody else already knows. But the hardest thing was to realize, because I believed in the church of God and I believed in holy living, but I was afraid of you all because I didn't grow up with you. And I didn't know if you'd like me or not. But when the Lord calls, you have to answer. I know you all love me now. But the Lord wants to use all of you. See, there's not any big people and small people. There's not any big preachers and small helpers in the kitchen. No such thing. One job is as important to God as the other job, and whatever He's given you to do, you're to do it with all your might, and you're not to be looking around and trying to find somebody else to fill it when it's yours to do. And you're going to have to go past yourself. You're going to have to go past your feelings, past your comforts, past your fears. Some of you are going to have to move. I hope I've said that enough. Some of you here in this room are going to have to move. And I'm talking about selling your house and moving to a new place. If you're going to do the Lord's will. Some of you are going to have to move. You can't stay all comfortable, all bundled up together, feeding off of each other, comforting each other, when the work is going badly in some places. You don't feel anything. You don't feel any responsibility towards the things that are happening. We are all the church. We're supposed to feel the needs around us. The needs that are happening across the country, we're supposed to feel them. And we're supposed to be concerned. And we're supposed to be able to pray and pray and pray until the Lord says, I want you to go. You're not praying enough. You don't know what you're supposed to do. You're not praying enough. God will tell you what you're supposed to do when you pray. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strewed. What the Lord is saying here, it's like a rhetorical question. Well, if you knew all of this and you thought that you knew how I was and how I reacted and that I was harsh and I was mean and that I was going to reap where I didn't, then you should have done something. If that's what you really thought, you should have done something.
Yes.
But you know what our problem is among the saints? God is love. And we think we're going to get away with it because God is love. And we're not. We're not. He is going to hold us responsible for places that have dried up because nobody wanted to go. He's going to hold us responsible. And we're not going to get away with it. And we're going to have to, if we're going to make heaven our home, if we're going to meet Him on that judgment day and be clear, if we're going to make it all the way through clear to our death, we are going to have to sacrifice and give up our comforts and give up our homes and give up everything that the world says we have in order to be a good human being in the United States. We're going to have to give it all up and move out for the Lord. Efforts can be made. We were sitting at a table today and somebody told a story about a person that was a missionary somewhere. And he went there and didn't look like much of anything was accomplished. His wife died there. His children died there. He finally died there. And out of that whole time, there was only one person that got saved. But that one person, that effort that man put forth because God told him to do it. And even though he looked around and it didn't look like anything was happening, and it didn't look like he could have been bitter and said, this has been a wasted life. But that one man that was a native there went on and carried that work, and hundreds were saved. So, yes, God sacrificed His whole family. For hundreds, He never knew. You won't know either. You won't know what the sacrifices you make. You probably will not see the final outcome. But there will be seed sown, and there will be lives lived, and there will be those that remember, and there will be those that you contact, and those will go on. And in the years to come, if the Lord tarries His coming, there will be much done because you followed the Lord. He has a plan. He has a plan. He has the best plan. Plan A. If you fail Him, He goes to plan B. Do you think that's what He wants to do? But He wanted to use you and you've refused. Now He has to do something different. I hope there's a great percentage of people in here that are feeling a burning call that God wants to use me in some kind of a way, and I'm willing to do it. Or maybe you've been feeling a call for a while and you've been putting it off. Or maybe you've been thinking that so-and-so over there, I've been watching them, they've got some kind of call on them. Well, I sit here comfortable. I want them to go and do it. I realize that, so to speak, the evangelistic tent and everything, we might be living in a little different age. It might not be as effective as it once was when those people went across this country all over and had the evangelistic tent out and was trying to reach souls and all. I realize that there are other ways that people are reaching out now, through internet websites and through communications and things of that. I realize there's other ways. But when we make contact with people, somebody's got to go and encourage them. One person can't do it. Somebody's got to be willing to make some changes in their lives. Amen. Willing to give up some things. Willing to live without some things. I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but I listened to somebody talk about going someplace. I'm trying to be diplomatic. And they talked about the hardships. But when they talked about the hardships, they weren't telling about the hardships. They were telling about all the answers God gave them over the top of the hardships. And they were just as happy as they could be and telling how this happened and then that happened and then we didn't have this and then this was supplied and that was supplied. And I sat there and I cried. Because God had never had to do that for me. Because I had everything I needed. And I felt ashamed. I felt ashamed that all the years that they were doing without, I had everything I needed. I didn't have to pray down anything. I never had to pray down a good job for my husband. I never had to pray down a place for us to live. I didn't have to do a lot of those things. And I felt ashamed. If we don't give all of ourselves on the day of judgment, God's going to reckon with us. He's going to reckon with us. And He's going to reckon with our faithfulness of what we have done for Him, what we sacrificed for Him, what we were willing, though others have it and I don't, it's all right. Because I reap such great benefits from knowing that God can supply every need. In one place in the scriptures it said that, well, I can't quote the scripture, but what it's talking about that there was no needs in the body, that when someone over here had an abundance and over here they had less, and because the abundant gave to the ones that had less, there were no lacks. We don't live like that. Some of us have bank accounts. We have savings accounts. We have all of those kinds of things. Yet the morning church, that's how they lived. Because, you know why? Because back there, when you said you were a Christian, people didn't want you around. They didn't want to give you a job. They didn't want... those people... They had to help each other. They had to. Now we're all these individual little tiny families and we're not hardly even interconnected. And we don't even hardly know each other's burdens. We don't hardly know each other's finances. We're going to be judged. And we're going to be reckoned with. What's your gift? It says here in the 28th verse, it says, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable, good for nothing servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Take away even that he has. He's not profitable. He's of no value to me. He didn't do what I asked him to do. He didn't go forward with what I wanted him to do. He wasn't willing to sacrifice. He wasn't willing to move. He wasn't willing to take on some more responsibility for the church somewhere else in another location. He wasn't willing. Take what he has away. People always say, you ever heard this saying? Oh, that person is so good. They just give you the shirt off their back. Surely, surely God wouldn't cast them into hell. I'm going to tell you something. That good thing that that person has, that where he really likes to help people and he would give you the shirt off his back and all, when he didn't do the Lord's will and he didn't get saved and he didn't allow the Lord to perfect him and use him like he wanted, at the very end, that good thing in him is going to be taken away. There isn't going to be anybody in hell willing to give the shirt off their back. There isn't going to be anybody like that. Every good thing they had about them will be gone. Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. And some people naturally, through their personality and through the ways that God blessed them in their personality, they have some good things about them, but in hell they won't have them. There won't be anybody in the lake of fire heaving up somebody else out of the flames. They'll be crawling on the one next to them on their back to try to get out of the flames. There won't be anybody trying to heave somebody else up. All that's good will be taken away. And you remember when he told the beggar, and he said, "Oh, you had all those good things in life. This beggar had nothing. Now he's got everything. You've got nothing." How are you going to go to the judgment? Is he going to reckon with you in that last day? Are you going to be ashamed for the lack of anything that you did for the Lord? Are you going to be ashamed that you never, ever followed through with what God was dealing with you about? Are you going to be ashamed that all I did was sit in the pew and be ministered to every Sunday and went home and lived my own life and I didn't even pay much attention to anybody else? What are you going to do? Amen.
Amen. Second number 329. Let's stand.